Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I really need a bath. You know, it's one of those things, when we talk about baptism, there's so many things to understand about baptism. And I've talked about it here, in fact, quite a few times. Now, what is baptism? Baptism usually means lustrations, that's the fancy word, luster, or a ceremonial washing. And the action which the Greek words express may be performed by plunging, drenching, staining, dipping, and sprinkling. So the nouns baptisma and baptismos do not occur in the Septuagint, that's the Greek Old Testament. And the verb baptizo occurs only in four places, and two of them are in a figurative sense. In other words, it is in the Old Testament, 2 Kings, Judith, Isaiah, and Ecclesiastes. So there is the idea of baptism in the Jewish religion. Well, folks, you couldn't enter in the temple unless you'd gone through a ceremonial washing. In fact, if you ever watch the History Channel, they have found all of these pools that you walk down into outside of the Temple Mount, because you had to be clean to enter into God's house. Also, and this I found interesting as I was doing research for this, we didn't touch on this in the seminary, but to enter the Jewish faith, yeah, we know the idea of circumcision for men, but there had to be a ritual washing of baptism to enter into the Jewish faith. How many of you knew that? I didn't know it either. Okay, faded. All right, so what happens is the baptism of John and the disciples of the Christ prior to the day of Pentecost and the Christian sacrament of baptism are what we call literal baptisms. Why? Because we go through that. Now, Luther said this, and I think it's interesting. Baptism is not simple water only, but it is water comprehended only through God's command. But it is water only comprehended, understood, through God's command. Folks, the Westminster Short Catechism of both the Presbyterian Church in Scotland and the Anglican Church use that same verbiage in their catechisms. So, in other words, water without the Word of God in it has no power. It can only be comprehended through the Word of God. All right, technical stuff, isn't it? But why is it so important? There's the question, isn't it? Well, what happened at the start of Jesus' ministry? He went to the River Jordan and met his cousin, John the Baptist. When he talks to John that day, what does John say to him? You want to be baptized by me? You should be baptizing me. And what does Jesus say? No, we have to do this. And then when Jesus is baptized, the heavens open up, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove out of the sky. What does God say? This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. God blessed baptism. You know, you stop and think about it. Well, if Jesus said he had to do it, God blesses it. Is it important? Yes, it certainly is. Okay, so the idea of this ritual washing is important, both in the Jewish religion and Christian religion. So what's the difference between the two? Word of God. We as Christians believe that baptism only has power if the Word of God is there. Of course, we know how important the Word of God is. I mean, we talk about it all the time. If you've ever read the book of John, you know, Jesus is the Word made flesh, right? Okay. So the Word of God is really important. Now, in our gospel, go ye therefore and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I preached on that before, because remember, name in Greek has the ending for masculine singular, but then we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know what that is? Three in one. So the Trinity is there. But why do we baptize in the name of the Trinity? Because we're baptizing in the name of God. And the name of God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's one of those things, you know, today we wear red because we're invoking the Holy Spirit. The color of the Holy Spirit is red. When it's white, it's God. When it's white and silver or gold, it's Jesus. Okay? Why do we do this? Well, it's, you know, this goes back centuries. Apostles told us to do this in the Daedalus Cave, so we do it. Okay? But I think it's important that when we see the red, we realize that today the Holy Spirit is with us. And we've seen the action of the Holy Spirit in two baptisms this morning. Is the Holy Spirit real? You bet it is. All right. So baptism is not simple water only, but it's the water comprehended in God's command. So do you have to be immersed?
No.
We found out that the word baptism can mean a bunch of different things. Luther liked immersion. But was it always done that way in the Bible? Day of Pentecost, okay? We know 5,000 men came to be believers. Okay, and here's the thing in the Bible, 5,000 men. Well, what about their wives and kids? All right, let's just take the wives. So 5,000 men, you got 5,000 women, that's 10,000. You got 11 disciples. All right, let's see, 10,000 people divided by 11. That means in 8 hours, the disciples would have to baptize 113, almost 2 a minute, for 8 hours without a break. So when are they going to go out and share the witness of Jesus Christ? You see what I'm getting at? So, baptism does not always have to be water, but it tells us in the Bible it's really important. So the Holy Spirit can enter your heart before baptism. Megan, did you believe in Jesus before you were baptized?
Yes.
Were you a child of God before you were baptized? Was the Holy Spirit with you before you were baptized?
Yes.
Yes. I told you the story of the girl from Vietnam who wanted to be baptized, but her parents told her that if she was, she couldn't go back to Vietnam. So I mean, she would give up everything she knows to be a Christian. And that day, she just crashed. I mean, we were doing the creed, and you know, I believe in one baptism for the remission of sins, and she fell. And I said, I can't, do you remember her name? No, it's, I don't think so. Well, anyway, I came over and looked at her. She says, I want to be baptized. I believe. And that's when we sat down and we went through Acts 2. Because on the day of Pentecost, people believed and came to the Lord. The Holy Spirit entered them without water baptism. But yet, we know that water baptism is important, isn't it? But then again, too, as we start on this, how much water do you need? Do you need the River Jordan or a lake? The Bible tells us it should be cold, running water. Can you imagine jumping in cold, running water? Ooh. Okay. A lot of new churches, both Lutheran, Catholic, Orthodox, are having full baptismal tubs. In fact, a lot of you walk in and it's the very first thing you see. Okay, so knowing that we need to have water with it, is the water the operative thing or the Word of God? Word of God. So how much water do you need? Do you need a bucket?
Drop.
I mean, we don't use that much here. But it's the water and the Word acting together that brings us into the family of God. It brings us into the blessing of eternal life. And folks, isn't that what we're here for? I mean, we look at what baptism does for us. It brings us into the family. It is so important. Is there anybody here who has not been baptized? See, somebody thought it was important for all of you too. How many of you were baptized as children? Okay. How many of you weren't? Okay. Now, let's Baptists have the age of accountability where you decide that you're going to be baptized. Do we have that in the Lutheran Church? Catechism and confirmation. Where you stand up, just like Megan did today, and you stand up for what you believe. Folks, there's no difference. I mean, we might call it something different. We know that we have no control over the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enters. So when we have a baptism, when I was baptized, the Holy Spirit entered his heart, didn't it? Does he understand that today? Probably not. Will he understand it? Yes. Because all of us have pledged to help him through that. That's the blessing. That's when we're in the family of all believers. Isn't it? And isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? How do we know that all of this is important? Because the Bible tells me so. You know, we go back, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. First thing we learned, right? But isn't it the truth? I mean, the Bible tells us it's important, so is it important? Now, here's the thing, and I've shared this with you before. The imperatives, remember in Greek they have that imperative form. And if you don't know what an imperative is, it's when your mom pulls the glasses down and gives you the look. You will do this. Okay, I'll do that. We've all experienced that. Yes? Okay, what if it's Jesus who's doing that? You will do that. You with me? Okay, that's what the imperatives are. And do you know that Jesus has 47 imperatives in the Bible? 47 times when he said, you will. Someday I'll do a Bible study on that, and we'll just go through the imperatives of Jesus. Because I think it gives a new look at our religion. You know, part of the thing is, in English, English is such an imperfect language. We can say a lot of things, but we don't have the things like the imperatives that tell us it's going to be that way. Well, folks, I know it's getting hot, okay, because I'm getting hot too. And I promise you, it wouldn't be long, and it's been almost 17 minutes, so I guess I should be quiet. We're told baptized by water and the word, and today in our church, is the day that all the hosts of heaven and all of us came together in the sacrament of holy baptism, the mystery ordained by God. It's what Jesus told us to do. You think Jesus is pleased today? I do too. This is most certainly true. And the people of God respond with, amen. To God be the glory. Amen. And you can do better than that. And the people God respond with,
amen.
Amen. There we go. Our hymn.